are swift, rocks are ancient, mountains are high, oceans gray, winds are restless, trees are patient.
Welcome to The Inner Game. I'm Gwen Garcelon, your host. Thanks for listening. The Inner Game is about how we nurture and attend to our mind, body, spirit health, and how that allows us to make a bigger contribution in the area of purpose that calls to us. Because these are times that are asking us to evolve beyond the systems and paradigms that are collapsing. These are conversations with people who are committed to making an evolutionary difference with their lives from a place of balance and love and service. And today I wanted to share with you a talk I gave recently at a spiritual center in Carbondale. A spiritual center is a beautiful non-denominational group that meets every Sunday at the Third Street Center in Carbondale. I speak there about twice a year, and this month I felt a calling to dive into something called natural democracy. I wanted to explore democracy as a sacred practice, the divine nature of its origins, and what are the spiritual practices we can use to catalyze a more sacred expression of democracy in our country. Here's that talk now.
What I'd like to share today is an evolutionary expression of democracy, which is based on the ancient wisdom of the natural world. And of course, there's some juicy synchronicity to this day of December 7th. On this same day in 1787, Delaware became the first state to ratify the U.S. Constitution. This is also the day that Cicero was assassinated. And Cicero's work heavily influenced our American democratic system of checks and balances, separation of powers. He emphasized the importance of mixed government to avoid tyranny, so elements of different kinds of governance, and the necessity of the rule of law. So yeah, you just can't make this stuff up. Something else interesting about Cicero: there were 9 colleges that existed in the colonies by 1776. And entry requirements for all of them included the ability to read Cicero in Latin. So the founding of our country is steeped in his wisdom. This is where all the statesmen came from, which included the understanding of natural law, or that a divine law of moral and spiritual truths govern the human condition, and it is based in unity consciousness. So natural law precedes religion. It's the understanding that there is a universal and inherent sense of justice and morality that infuses all of life. So beautiful. Yeah. And this is where unalienable natural rights come from, that we are part of a divinely bestowed universal justice. And Martin Luther King said, "We are tied together in a single garment of destiny, caught in an inescapable network of mutuality. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly." And he went on to say, "I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be. And you can never be what you ought to be until I am what I ought to be." This is this interrelated structure of reality and how we evolve. So this is an important part of natural democracy, that we each have access to the opportunity to evolve, and that each of our individual evolution lifts up the whole. Emerson talked about this in his writings on self-reliance, or which was more about self-discovery, sourcing truth from within, from that original divine source within us, over societal pressure and conformity. So we see these themes, you know, rippling forward, and they continue to always really speak to us because of the inherent truth in them, derived from source. And I've talked about these principles before, but I've never connected the dots with the emerging field of natural democracy. And natural democracy is not a new concept, because it's based in the foundation of natural law, which goes back to Cicero and others over 2,000 years ago. And we see it expressed in indigenous cultures like the Iroquois up to 800 years ago. It's about accessing the unified field of nature's intelligence and understanding our intrinsic oneness and interdependence with the cosmos. Doesn't that feel right? So natural democracy has two primary approaches. The first is an ecological framework rooted in indigenous worldviews and extends the idea of democracy to include all of nature, recognizing that humans are interdependent with plants, animals, the whole living world, and that the whole living world is afforded the same rights as humans. It's just unfathomable to think that humans would be held above any of the elements of nature that support our very existence. You know, it's like, how could that be? What sense would that make? And culture and ethics and politics are informed by the cycles of nature and behaviors of other living things. So nature has an inherent and necessary seat at the table of governance. And we see this arising in things like new legal foundations for the rights of things like rivers and forests are starting to, you know, those kinds of laws are starting to be adopted or maybe readopted. The second concept is a philosophical approach that aligns democratic governance with principles of natural law and its inherent human rights to dignity and equality and freedom. Now, this is the theory that Werner Erhard of the EST training talked about, a world that works for everyone, where nothing is excluded. You know, so we see this kind of keep popping back into these pieces of personal development that some of us have experienced and even before that. This shows up as this evolutionary concept time and time again. It's a very high expression of spiritual awareness in human governance. So the work of establishing and maintaining a group of people that functions democratically is the same work that uplifts everyone spiritually. It's not an easy path because it continually challenges our commitment to equality. How do we really take into account the well-being of others and all of life in our moment-to-moment decisions? And I'll share more about that later. But that's a big deal. But I'd like to share some of the main democratic principles of the Iroquois Confederacy, or the Haudenosaunee, as they call themselves. So they have, and we took, as you'll see, a lot of the principles of the Iroquois Confederacy in the founding of our nation. You know, the founding fathers, with this, who were steeped in natural law, saw the wisdom that they practiced. They have a council of representatives called sachems, who make decisions by consensus. This is the Council of Chiefs. And it's a two-house legislature. They have elders and youngers. They have a system of checks and balances. You know, kind of like sort of common sense, you know? That's another principle of natural law, that these things just make sort of inherent sense. And the Great Law of Peace codified this structure, ensuring representation, shared decision-making, and a process for conflict resolution among all the member nations. And one of the most interesting things to me is that the sachems were chosen by clan mothers, who were the hereditary leaders of the matrilineal clans. The clan mothers selected candidates based on qualities of wisdom, leadership, ability, and knowledge of the laws and values. And they had, the clan mothers had the power to depose of sachems if they were doing a poor job. So this was a very important female-led role in this structure. The clan mothers were revered. They were brought up to be role models and understand the deep underpinnings of the values and laws of the clan. And, you know, they held this very important role of discernment. Who is going to lead us? And it came from their say-so. They even had authority over things like approving marriages to ensure that partners were not from the same clan. So, you know, that's a key principle of natural democracy, diversity. So we see this natural wisdom in choosing partners outside the clan to ensure that greater blending and strength of that single garment or tapestry of destiny.
This is Gwen Garcelon, and you're listening to The Inner Game on KDNK. Today, you're listening to a talk I gave this month on natural democracy and its origins in natural law, or the divinely bestowed rights innate in all of life. Here's the rest of that talk now.
So, how do we do this? What are the spiritual principles that help us align with the natural law and catalyze natural democracy? This is always the important stuff to me. Like, yeah, this stuff makes sense, but what are the daily practices that we all can, you know, use to seed this, which we all dearly want, I think. So I want to talk about the golden ratio, which is part of natural law. It's the mathematical formula of the Fibonacci sequence or spiral. I'm going to take this ring off. It's found in forms in nature, like the pine cone and the nautilus seashell. This is a naturally occurring Fibonacci spiral. I'm just going to pass it around because I think it's so awe-inspiring. Leonardo da Vinci used the golden ratio in his compositions. And the golden ratio is seen as a trinity that represents the three fundamental aspects of existence: the individual, the environment, and the interaction between the two. So it reminds us of our interdependence with the natural world. It's this sort of magical thing that we can use its guidance and wisdom in our governing, like our indigenous kin. So increasing our connection with the natural world, learning about it, listening to it, relating to it as sacred. These are ways to catalyze natural democracy. And something else golden, the golden rule, is tied to natural law. Treat others, including the natural world, as I would like to be treated. Again, this is not easy. It sounds easy, it makes sense, but if we really drill down, it's a very challenging thing to do. You know, for instance, if every person on the planet got on a plane several times a year, we know that we'd burn up our planet pretty quickly. We already use 5 Earths of resources with our, you know, practicing our average American consumption patterns. And this is interesting. Research shows that only 80 to 90% of the world's population has ever been on a plane. And only 2 to 4% fly internationally in a given year. What if we applied the golden rule here? Do I want to consume in a way that has that much unbalance built into it? How can I make choices that are more fair and just? And, you know, there's no answers here. There's no judgment. It's just something to be aware of, to kind of consider, you know, what feels right. What feels right if we really are, have that interdependence with the natural world? What feels like right relationship to the natural world? Another way that we can practice this is beginner's mind. And I love this practice because built into it is a real sense of humility. And I think we're going to need that to be able to take on these challenges that we face. We've got to give up already knowing how we think things will go or how we think things should go. But, you know, reimagining solutions according to our deep, deep values, not what we are kind of programmed by the status quo, you know, to really get clear about questioning and learning. And this is, you know, beginner's mind is also about relying on faith and letting go of having to figure it all out. There are larger divine forces at work that we can trust completely, without knowing their precise workings or agendas. Faith means trusting the unknown and offering yourself as a vehicle for the intrinsic benevolence of the cosmos. The first step to wisdom is silence. The second is listening. If you genuinely ask inwardly and listen for guidance, especially from the natural world, and then follow it carefully, you are working in accord with these larger forces and you become an instrument for their music. The last one that I really love is, I'll call United We Stand as a practice. This is the essential art of community and building relationships, averting divisiveness. I've heard it said that a stranger is simply a friend I haven't met yet. I love that. A phrase from the Mayan tradition is Inlakesh Alakin, which means I am another yourself. I am you, you are me. It's a greeting and a philosophy reminding us of unity and oneness and interconnectedness with all things. meaning that harming others or the environment is a way of harming ourselves. So this encourages us to reach beyond our silos of comfort and forge new bonds. Love thy enemy, or at least have compassion for them. This is a vital challenge. So it does not mean indulging in falsehood or corruption. It means moving from us, them thinking to we consciousness, from separation to cooperation, recognizing that as human beings, we're far more alike than we are different, you know, and that's a tenet of natural law. And, you know, it's challenging with people whose values seem and views are so seemingly radically opposed to ours. But be hard on the issues and soft on the people. So in 2009, at the Vancouver Peace Summit, the Dalai Lama said, "The world will be saved by the Western woman." So another big acknowledgement of the power of female leadership. You know, and nobody knows exactly what he meant by that. I think he sort of threw it out there as kind of a koan for us to chew on and try to make sense of. But we are seeing a rise in women holding positions of global leadership. It's slow, but it is happening. And remember, it doesn't take a majority to create a tipping point. Research shows that it can take as little as 10% of a population to create significant social change. And there's the Maharishi effect that showed that, you know, even 1% of a population acting from a deep meditative posture can have effects on an entire population. So take that to heart. You know, look at some of these principles and continue to have hope that in these divine forces that are our allies, that the more we align with them, we can see good things happening.
Thank you so much for listening. You can find The Inner Game on Apple Podcasts, on the kdnk.org website, and on my website, gwengarcelon.com, for all my other offerings. Until next time, consider your right relationship to the natural world, and what would be the most beautiful expression of that in this holiday season. Many blessings to all of you, and I look forward to being with you in 2026.
Waves are crashing, rivers churning, planets twirling, stars ablaze.